Mem Zayn Ahmed Alef. So we saw the Gemara yesterday that the Rosha, having been killed by Beis Din, is not buried next to other righteous people. We learn this from the Pasuk. So let's just remind ourselves of the story because there's an important follow-up. The Gemara says that if you remember, there was this Novi Sheker who, when died, he found himself buried next to Elisha, the great Elisha, the big Talmid of Eliyahu HaNavi. So it was considered disrespect, a lack of kavod for Elisha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a nes, and he was Mechaye Mesim. If you remember, as soon as he just touched the body, the bones of Elisha, all of a sudden this Novi Sheker became alive again. And the Gemara proved from there, you see that the issue must have been the fact that he was buried next to a tzaddik. So if you have a look, we're on the very last narrow line of the Gemara. Omale Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says that, one second, how do you know that that is the correct interpretation of this story? Omale Rav Papa v'dilma, maybe the reason why he was Mechaye Meisim was for a different reason. V'dilma le'ikiyuma, in order to be Mechayim, the following pasuk. Vayehi no pishnayim baruchacho elai. What does that mean, pishnayim? A double portion. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. No pishnayim, says Rashi. Eliyahu hechya es hames. We know Eliyahu HaNavi performed tchiyas hamesim. The young child, Ishus HaTzorfis. V'ahoya loy le'elisha la'achayois shnei mesim. The Pasuk says that Elisha will do that which Eliyahu HaNavi did, but he'll do it twice. So if Eliyahu HaNavi was Mechaye Meisim once, then Elisha has to be Mechaye Meisim twice. V'hu lo hechyo elo. But we only find one particular event in which he did Tchiyas HaMeisim, the son of the Ben HaShunamis. So maybe, and this is what the Gemara is suggesting, maybe when this Rosha was buried next to him and he was Zoicha to Tchias HaMeisim, how do you know it's because of this concept that a Rosha cannot be buried next to a Tzaddik? Maybe it's just the second time that Elisha has to perform Tchias HaMeisim. Because until this point, you only find that he's done it once. In which case, we don't have a proof to our original Yesod. You're trying to prove over here that why did he have Tchiyas HaMeisim? It must be because of this concept that a Rosha cannot be buried next to a Tzaddik. How do you know? Maybe that's not the reason. Maybe rather this is just a fulfillment of the fact that he has to be Mechaye Meisim twice, and until this point we've only found that he'd done it once, so this is the second time. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, I'm curious, how do they translate this first line now, this first wide line of the Gemara? Ihochi, Hainu de Tanya al Raglov Omad, but Ulebeisoi loy holach. How do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef?
Turned over the page. Al Raglov, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The man whose body touched Elisha's bones stood on his feet, but he did not live long enough to return to his home.
So therefore, what's the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question would seem to be that that's not really considered a proper Tchiyas HaMeisim. If the purpose of this Tchiyas HaMeisim was this going to be now the second time that Elisha is Mechaye HaMeisim, then if all he did was stand up, but he didn't really have the koyach or the life force to go and return home. That's not called Tchiyas HaMeisim. So don't tell me that this was the second time. Look at Rashi. Lo yholach v'im yishum birkas Eliyahu. And if because of Eliyahu's bracha to his Talmud Elisha that he's going to be due Tchiyas HaMeisim twice, heichi mekuyemes b'hochi. How is that fulfilled with this? It's not called Tchiyas HaMeisim when you bring somebody alive and then he drops dead a second later. So therefore the Gemara says, it is a proof after all to our original Yesod. It must be that the purpose was not in order to do Tchiyas HaMeisim, but rather he just couldn't be buried next to Elisha. So he just had to come alive. And even if he drops dead a meter away, that's fine, as long as he's not buried next to Elisha. Says the Gemara, Elo. If that's true, Vayehino Pishnayim. This bracha that he was Zeicha is going to be Zeicha to do Tchias HaMeisim twice. Heichi Mishkachas Lo Da'achye. So where do we find that he brought to life the second person? Again, Eliyahu HaNavi was Mechayeh Meisim once. He gives a bracha to his Talmud that you're going to do it twice. We only find that he did it once. And that is in the case of the Ben Ashunamis. We thought this was the second case, and you've told me no, this was not the second case of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Well, where is this second case? Where do we find in the Navi that Elisha was Mechayeh Meisim a second time? Says the Gemara, yes, we found it. Where have we found it? Omale Rabbi Yochanan, Sheripo Tzoraas Naamon. Sheripo Tzoraas Naamon. Naamon was the Goisha army general, and he had Tzoraas, and Elisha healed him from his Tzoraas. What's that got to do with Tchiyas HaMeisim? Says the Gemara. Shehi shkula kemes. Because somebody who's a Metzora is comparable, as we know, to somebody who's dead. As it says, Deksiv al na tihi kemes. So we know there are four people who are compared to a dead person. One of them is a Metzora. So if a Metzora is considered dead and Elisha healed him, well, that therefore is a form of Tchiyas HaMeisim.
Who
Yes.
are the other three? Sorry.
Rabbi,
Yeah.
I was just gonna say, so therefore, ani kemes, right? So if you help a person out of his anius, is it Tchiyas HaMeisim?
Right, the form of Tchiyas HaMeisim according to this Gemara, correct. The four are an Oni, a Mishein Leibonim, somebody who has Yisurin, and somebody who has a Metzaras.
So does that mean every time you give tzedakah to an ani because you're making his situation better, it's a form of tchiyas hameisim in a way?
Very yes, quite right. You're giving him life. Now, says the Gemara. So we've had a principle that a rosha cannot be buried next to a tzaddik. The question is, do we differentiate between roshoy? We certainly are not going to bury a rosha next to a tzaddik, because that's the halacha. Therefore, this person who was killed by Beis Din cannot be buried in the regular Beis HaKvaros because he's a rosha. But do we distinguish between different types of Rishoyim? Says the Gemara, yes, we absolutely do. Ukashem she'ein koivrin rosha itzel tzaddik. In the same way as we don't bury a rosha next to a tzaddik, kach ein koivrin, so too ein koivrin rosha chomor itzel rosha kal. So not only is a Rosha not to be buried next to a Tzaddik, but even within Rishoyim, we make a distinction between a Rosha Chomor and a Rosha Kal. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Ukashem she'ein koivrin tama mahada. We are going back now to explain the words of the Mishnah. The The Mishnah said that we have two separate Beis HaKvaris for Roshoim. She'ein koivrin niskolin v'nisrofin. People who are stoned or burned, hein Roshoim chamurin. That's considered a very severe Rosha. And if it's considered to be a very severe Rosha, they cannot be buried. Eitzel neherogin v'nechnokin. Next to those killed with a sword or strangulation, she'ein Roshoim kalin. They are, as it were, light-rate Roshoim. In other words, even though we know there are four Misos of Bezdin, but the punishment clearly reflects the severity of the Aveir. So if somebody has to get a punishment of Sreifa or Skila, then that can clearly considered much worse than the lighter-weight punishments. So in the same way as we don't put a Rosha next to a Tzaddik, so too we don't put a severe Rosha next to a lightweight Rosha. Says the Gemara, so why do we split them into two categories? Why don't we split them into four? Says the Gemara, Veliskin Arba Kvarois. So why do we make four separate Bote Kvaris? Clearly, if there are four punishments of Bezdin, there must be some type of hierarchy. And if there's a hierarchy, then let's grade them. Work out who's more chomer, who's more kal, and each one should be buried with his the people who are killed with the same misa. Says the Gemara, Shnei Kvarais, Gemara Gemiri Lo. It's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Look at Rashi. Veliskin Arba. Why do we make four Kvaris? Tohon Nisrofin, Eitzel Niskolin, Kalin Heim. Why are you putting Nisrofim and Niskolin in one category, but they're not the same category? It's true, they are considered the more chomor, but definitely Sreifa and Skila is two separate Oinshim. And if it's two separate Oinshim, one is considered more heavyweight, one is considered lightweight, so why don't you bury them separately? Says Rashi, Gemara Gemiri La Halacha L'moisha Nisina. Fine, so we don't ask questions. So it's a choik, we don't know. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai, that yes, you've got to split up the Roshoim into different camps, but not into four camps, rather just into two. Okay. Says the Gemara, Oma Ula Oma Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara now completely switches topic, although we'll see why indeed the Gemara brought this over here, because we are going to come back later on once again to our subject, which is Misa and Kapora, etc., etc. So let's just make a very brief introduction. We know that if somebody is mafrish a korban, not that he sacrificed the korban, that's called makriv. Mafrish means he separated a korban. He goes into his field, he takes a cow, puts it aside, and declares this is going to be a korban. So this animal now clearly adopts kedusha and has various halachas. You have to know what to do with it. What's the next stage? The next stage, obviously, is he's got to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and he's got to sacrifice it. So we have a principle called nidche. We've actually had this in the past. Nidche or dochli. Nidche means rejected. Rejected. What does that mean, rejected? What happens if, for example, the person who was mafresh a korban all of a sudden goes off the derech? Goes off the derech, he marries out. So he's not allowed to bring the korban anymore. Somebody who goes off the derech to this extent, as we'll soon see in the Gemara, his karbonas are not acceptable. Which means that even though he was mafrish the korban and was at that point mukhuyiv to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, but there has now been a dichuy, means there has been a rejection. What does it mean, a rejection? We've now reached another stage in which, because he's gone off the derech, well, therefore, he cannot possibly bring the carbon. Can't bring the carbon. Can't bring the carbon. Now the question is, what happens if he comes back onto the derech? He's now a tzaddik once again. So do we say that once the korban is rejected, once rejected, forever rejected? Or do we say no? It was only rejected subject to his status of being off the derech, being a Rasha. But now that he's come back and he's a tzaddik once again, so you can bring the korban. That is the subject of our shaila. So have a look at the Gemara. Omaruna, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Ochal, sorry. Yes, Ochal Chelev. If somebody eats Chelev, we know you're not allowed to eat Chelev. So if somebody eats Chelev, the Mechuyav have to bring a carbon. So somebody ate Chelev, a Hifrish carbon, and indeed he separated a carbon, Vehemir Dosoi. What does it mean, Vehemir Dosoi? And he now switched, as it were, religion, he married out. The Chozar boy, but then he retracted it, and he's now come back to Torah mitzvahs and to Yiddishkeit. So this person has undergone three stages. He began as a tzaddik when he was mafrish the korban. Then, having been mafrish the korban, but he hasn't yet sacrificed it, he then became a rasha. So at this point, the korban is nidche, rejected. But he now becomes a tzaddik once again, says the Gemara. Hoil v'nidche yidche. Once rejected, it remains rejected. The halacha is, we learn from Apostle, that once a carbon is nidche, even if the circumstances change, it doesn't matter. Once rejected, forever rejected. Have a look at Rashi. When this person rejected his religion, then the korban was rejected. Why was it rejected? Because we do not accept korbanos from somebody who is classified as a mumah. A mumma is anybody who goes off the derech and has rejected his religion. We do not accept his karbonis anymore. Kedetanya, as we have learned in a brisa, me amoretz prat lemumar. We have a pasuk that teaches us that we cannot possibly accept a korban from a mumma, as it says, b'shchitas chul meperekama. Which means, therefore, this is the end of the Rashi, that once this person rejected his religion, at that particular moment, would he have been allowed to be makriv the korban? The answer is absolutely not. So, therefore, it turns out, if that's the case, that this korban, at the moment that he has now rejected his religion, well, the carbon has become rejected. So the chiddush is that it remains that status forever now. Even if he comes back to Yiddishkeit, his chozer b'tshuva becomes a tzaddik, it's too bad. Once rejected, always rejected. By the way, rejection doesn't necessarily have to mean that it's his own fault. As Rashi says in the next lines, carry on the Rashi now. Shoyte nami. If somebody's a shoyta, that's not his fault. Somebody loses his da'as. He also cannot bring a korban, and his korban becomes rejected. Shoyta nami lav bar kaporahu. The shoyta is also not somebody who can be zeicher to a kapora. It's not his fault. Diksiv diyakriv oisai liritzoinoi, quote unquote, ksiv. Because the Torah writes, that the korban will be brought in accordance with his rotzin. Well, if he's a shaita, means that he's lost his mind, then he doesn't have rotzin. So once again, if somebody would be mafresh a korban and then he would lose his mind, becomes mentally unstable, then he cannot bring a korban. It's nothing is to do with his fault. It's not like the first case where he now decided to marry out and he's become a rosha. Nothing to do with it. He has now lost the ability to makriv a korban, albeit it's not his fault, because he cannot be mekayim, the dictator of the pasuk, which is liratzoinoi. Ratzoinoi means the korban has to be brought in accordance with his consent. Well, he can't consent because he doesn't have das. So once again, so what will be the halacha? If somebody is mafresh a korban and then becomes a shoita, so that korban is now rejected. And what happens if the person is zeicher to a refuah shleima and he gets his das back? Sorry, once rejected, always rejected. So whether the korban is rejected because the bailin, the owner, became a rosha, or because the bailin became a shoita, makes no difference. The issue is not whether it is or isn't his fault. The issue is, once the korban is rejected, even if circumstances are reversed, the korban remains rejected. Yes.
In the story of Elisha ben Abuya, when he went to Tar B'Srah, and then he heard, and he tried, Rameh tried to get him to do tshuva, and he heard, shuvam shuvam chutz me'acher. It's kind of the same thing in a way, because he was because he was ready to do tshuva, right? And he felt rejected again. This is a rejection to the person. So do you think that this is Hashem saying, I need you
No,
to
but like
show
we
me that
said,
even though I'm rejecting you?
no, because like we said, that was a particular oinish as a result of his being a rosha. This halacha has nothing to do with becoming a rosha, like we see, even when a person becomes a shaita. The same halacha, it's a halacha in Hilchus Karbonis. As we'll soon see, it's extended beyond Karbonis. In the case of Acher, it was an oinish. It was an oinish. The Rambam tells us, we learn this from Paroi, that sometimes a person can be over an aveir which is so severe he loses the ability to be chayza b'tshuva, which Baruch Hu hardened the heart of Paroh. But this is a different halacha. This is nothing to do with aveiras. Essentially, it's to do with the korban. Once rejected, it remains rejected. Says the Gemara. Itmar nami. So too we have learned, just like in the case of when he was hamir dosoi, which means he gave up his religion. So the korban became rejected, so we were told that it remains rejected. Af anan nami, itzma nami. So too we have learned in similar vein. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, Omer Rabbi Avohu, Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Ochal chelev v'hifrish korban. If somebody ate chelev and he now designated a korban, v'nishtater, he became a shoyter. Became a shoyter, obviously, not his own fault. V'chozar, but once again afterwards, he then was zeicher to a refuah shleima. He healed and he became a normal, sane person. Once again, I'm sorry to tell you, hoyil yidche. So we seem to have the same principle twice. And by the way, they are both said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. So both of these statements seem to be perfectly compatible. But whether the korban was nidcha because the person went off the derech, or the korban was nidcha because he became a shoyter, once that korban is now rejected, even if circumstances change, and the rosha becomes a tzaddik, or the person who's a shoyter becomes once again a pikeach. A pikeach means he's got his das back. It's too bad. Once rejected, always rejected. The only question being, why indeed did Rabbi Yechanan need to say both of these statements? He seems to be saying two statements which are saying exactly the same. So why did he need to give two examples? One example of when a person went off the derech, and another example of when he became a shoyter. So the Gemara asks this question. Says the Gemara, I absolutely need both statements of Rabbi Yechanan. Why? Says the Gemara, di'i ashmi'inon kamaisa. Because had we only been taught the first halacha, what was the first halacha? When he became a rosha, i'ashmi'inon kamaisa, had I only been taught the first halacha, what would I have said? Mishum de'ihu, because it was his own doing. Mishum de'ihu docha nafshei biyodayim, because he, with his own bare hands, as it were, he was the one who rejected the korban. How did he reject the korban? Because he chose willingly to go off the derech. So maybe that's considered a much more severe rejection. And maybe only in that case, once rejected, it remains rejected. Avol hai. But in the second case, when he became a shaita, which was obviously not his doing and not his fault. Avol hai kadachi. What does it mean, memela kadachi? Memela means it happened automatically. He just became a shaita. So I would have thought maybe Ema kiyoshein domi. Maybe he's considered just like a person who's sleeping. What's the halacha when a person is sleeping? A person is mafresh the korban, and now we go and send the korban to the Beis HaMikdash. Happens to be at the time they makriv the korban, the owner is fast asleep. Does that bother us? Doesn't bother us. Even though at the moment, at this particular moment, he can't have consent or anything because he's fast asleep. Doesn't matter. It's only temporary and therefore it's irrelevant. So I would have thought that maybe becoming a shoyter is the same thing. Yes, in the case of when he married out and became a Rosh HaGomor, so he willingly and actively rejected the korban. So yes, then I understand that the korban remains rejected. But in the case of when it was not willingly, it was not actively, he just became a shaita, or maybe that's considered like he just became asleep. That's why I needed to be told no, not only in the first case, also in the second case. Not only in the case where he willingly and actively and maliciously became a rasha, but even in the second case where it was not his own volition, it was not his fault, he just became a shaita. So maybe I would have been excused for thinking that in that case that's not considered just a severe rejection. That's why I needed to be told that no, that's also a rejection. Now, why do I need now the first case then? So just tell me the second case. Says the Gemara, Ve'i ashminon hocha. But if I would have been told only the case of when he became a shaitos, as we said, in one aspect it's better because that's not his own active rejection, but there is another side of the coin, and that is v'iyashminanachem. If I only would have told you the case of when he became a shaita, so what would I have said? Ah, mishum de'ein beyadai lachzor. It's not within his control to reverse this. If he's become a shaita, you're right. On the one hand, it's not his fault. That's the maila. But there's also a chisaron. Once he's become a shoyter, he may remain with us forever. So maybe that's considered a much more severe rejection because he himself cannot turn it around. Avol hosam, but over there where he became a rasha, you're right, it was active and malicious. But he could turn it around. So maybe by definition, that's considered temporary. Avol hosam de biyado ilachzer, he could turn it around. He could become a tzaddik. So emaloi. So maybe in that case, I wouldn't consider a rejection. That's why it's tricha. That's why I need both cases. Have a look at Rashi. Kiyoshein domi. I would have said that somebody who's a shaita is just like a person who's sleeping. K'chol adam. Like every person, hayoshenim balayla, who sleeps at night. Ve'einom nitchim bekach. Nobody said that his korban becomes rejected because of it. La'ach hasheni oirei, after you wake him up. So I would have thought, what's the difference if he's become asleep or he's become a shaita? It's all the same thing. Avalhosam says Rashi, Deyesh biyadoi lachzor. It's within his control to be chayza, even though he became a rosh in the beginning, but maybe he can now become a tzaddik. Is emaloi have a dichui? Maybe there wouldn't be a dichui. Maybe I say, listen, a rejection is only a rejection if it's really permanent. Why is it permanent? Because in the case of when he becomes a shoyter, he cannot turn it around. So it turns out in the final analysis that the reason why I'm taught both cases, both the case when he becomes a rasha, and also the case of when He becomes a shoita. Each one has a nekuda of chidush. Each one teaches me that there is a form of rejection, but I wouldn't necessarily have known the second halacha had I been taught the first. Had I been taught the second, I wouldn't have known the first. Each one has an element of chidush, and that's why I need to be told both. But in the final analysis, it is the same rule at the end of the day. In either case, there's been a rejection. It's true, rejection for two very different reasons. Either there's been a rejection because he went off the derech, gave up his religion, or there's been a rejection because he became a shoyter. So in both of those situations, even if things are turned around, he's now no longer a rasha because he's done tshuva, or he's no longer a shoyter because he had a refuah shleima. It is too bad. Once the korban had a rejection, once rejected, always rejected.
Rebbe,
Yeah.
wouldn't that be a havamina to say if you learn from the Rasha that even if a person does tshuva, it's not accepted? So certainly in the case of Shaita, if he doesn't choose it, it's out of his control, then we also wouldn't be able to. Couldn't you learn it from the
You can, but there's a pircha to that Kal Vachomer. The pircha to the Kal Vachomer is you're right, he did tshuva, kol hakavod, but at least it was always within his control to do tshuva. Therefore, the whole rejection was just temporary. But in the case of Shoyter, it could be forever. It's not in his control to turn that around. So maybe there's one element of severity that's considered a worse rejection. It's a worse rejection. Okay, we're going to hold it over here, finish a little bit early, because the next Gemara is a complicated Gemara, Miss Hashem. We'll pick this up, all being well, next time. I'll be alone on the table session.
Okay.
Okay.